Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24, Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
I think I have a different, very like polar stance on that. Like, I just genuinely think it's stupid when people like try to make fun of you for being doing things you enjoy doing.
Exactly. 'Cause, like,
what are you doing? You're just hating.
Ooh, it's about to get juicy in here.
Hey guys, welcome back to TK's Juicy Pod. I am here today with, I guess, YouTuber, filmmaker, business owner, entrepreneur, friend to literally everyone and their mother, Justin Escalona.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for having me.
I've been trying to nail down Justin as a guest literally forever, so I'm finally glad we got it to work out.
It finally worked out. Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Well, I have to say, Kenzie Elizabeth is one of my best friends, right?
Okay.
And when I met her, I was like a fan of yours. I was like, but I didn't know you guys dated. And yes. I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, like I love following this guy who goes to USC because I live downtown. So mm-hmm. I was like, oh my gosh, and we're like the same age. So I was like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, he's the best like cinematic sequences. Like, I'm in film school, he's in film school, like, love this vibe. And she's like, TK, shut the fuck up. That's my ex-boyfriend. So there you go. I was like gassing you up way too much. She's like, I know who that is.
That's amazing. I'm glad that happened.
Yeah, I was like, he's so cool. Kenzie, like, you have to check him out. She's like, shut the fuck up. So, okay, tell me a little bit about like you moving from the Midwest to USC. For anyone that doesn't know you, for some reason, talk about, you know, your 5-minute spiel. Okay, or 1-minute spiel.
I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago. And I always wanted to make films and I didn't really know how I was going to do that. So then in Chicago, it's a big city. So every touring artist, like musician, needs to stop by Chicago. It's just like a mandatory stop. So when I was in eighth grade, my friends and I wanted to go to this concert. I didn't have a ticket and it was sold out. So my dad used to have really nice cameras around the house. I took one of the cameras and I put it around my neck. I took the train like at 45 minutes into the city and I thought it'd be a good idea to just tell them I was a press photographer. And I'm like in eighth grade.
That's awesome.
They believed it. I got like backstage. I did that every single week.
That's awesome.
For like 4 years. And then
sick. Who was the biggest person that you performed or saw perform?
I've literally shot like so many people, like really? Maybe like Travis Scott or like Kanye.
Yeah. Wow.
That's sick.
Everybody.
Yeah.
It what's cool too about like that age, I feel like if you get caught, it's like not that big of a deal because they're like, he's just like an eighth grader.
It literally doesn't matter. So, yeah. But then I started getting asked to go on on tours with these people, and then that led me to wanting to make films, and then I moved out to LA to go to film school.
Yeah, and can you tell us a little bit? I already know the story because I've listened to a few podcasts about you and stuff and watched your journey through YouTube, but like, can you explain your whole getting into USC process? Because I think it's crazy that all these other film schools like denied you.
Okay, so I wanted to go into film. I didn't really have the best grades. Like, I had like 3.8 GPA. And it's not, but the thing is, when you're trying to get into like hyper competitive colleges, like that's, you need like kind of like, you need 4.0.
Especially USC.
Yeah. So I applied to every single film school I could think of, like UCLA, Chapman, NYU, LMU. I got rejected by all of them. It gets kind of weird, like come December, when everybody is wearing their like college clothes, you know, and like they have like a hoodie that says like, oh, I'm going to University of Illinois, whatever. And I'm like, yo, I haven't gotten into anything yet. And USC is the longest. They wait the longest to tell you if you got in. They waited till March, and I was in Vail skiing with my family, and we told my grandma, who was staying at our house, like, if you get an envelope from any college, call us. And she calls us. We're at this restaurant, and she's like, hey, like, the envelope came from USC, and I was like, how thick is it? And they're like, oh, it's really thick. And I was like, oh,
that's
shit.
When you know.
And yeah, then I was like, I had my buddy from my best friend Nick drive over to my house because my grandma can't really speak the best English. He's like, bro, you got in.
Holy and I, shit!
And I fucking just went nuts.
Yeah, that's so hype. Why do you think that they like let you in opposed to other schools? Do you think they were like ahead of the time? They're like, this kid's rocking it on YouTube, or like, why do you think they let you in?
Well, at the time I wasn't really doing much on YouTube that like crazy. I think they cared about the portfolio, which I think is the most important part, because I had like, my portfolio was like pretty crazy for like someone that's coming in from high school, like photos of like Wu-Tang Clan and like Chance the Rapper.
That's so true.
Yeah.
I guess like all the other schools cared about like, is he going to have good grades? Is he going to be able to like be a student versus like someone who actually cares about the art? And I think that's why USC is the best film school, because a lot of other kids that I met there had that same experience where like they really cared about, like they just cared about how good you were.
So like, did you go there alone? Did you have any friends there?
I knew people from like the music industry that like are in LA, but like, we don't really, not like super close. So okay. I just moved out there with like really with nothing, just kind of figuring it out.
Did you feel like your education at USC was like worth its like how prestigious they like make it out to be, and like worth all the money and everything?
Well, the thing is with college, it doesn't really matter where you go to, right? It's more so like, what did you get from it? Like, did you meet the right people? Did you like have friends that can like that helped you shape? Because that's a weird you're developing as a person. Like, you're finally like becoming an adult. You don't live with your parents anymore. And like, did these people help that process of your life become a good one or not? And I luckily were around really cool people that really like motivated me to do more. Then also like, what's different about USC film school, I don't want this to be like an ad, because I don't really like fully like believe in like you need to go to college to be good at film. But the one thing I do take from it is they cared about the story, and the story is the most important thing. Like, everyone thinks like, oh, you go to USC, you get to shoot with the Reds, you shoot with the Arri Alexas. They gave us a Sony camcorder that doesn't even shoot 4K, and you literally have to, it's all about your story. And
totally.
Like, I've seen some amazing films created, like some of my classmates, like one of my really close friends named Lucas Dom, just got nominated for an Oscar this year.
Wow. Holy shit.
Yeah. So it's like, these kids are legends. It's a short film. He edited a short film about,
wow.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
That's awesome.
What's the favorite film that you've made? What's your favorite film?
When I was in college, I made this film called My Friend Khalid, and it was about like my friendship with this artist, Khalid.
I've never heard of it before.
Yeah, who's that?
And it's not really, it sounds like a flex, but genuinely, he's a good friend of mine. And it's a story about like how him and I became very close versus like how he's obviously super successful now.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast you were on, and you're kind of explaining the story about how, was it you found him on SoundCloud and like DM'd him? You're like, yo, when he was like not big at all.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
How did you find him? Like, are you just always on SoundCloud finding people, or what's the deal? Because you always have sick music.
Kind of. That's something that I honestly think is like a of really random talent I have where I can find these artists that are just not popular yet and they become super popular. I've heard that song Location on SoundCloud maybe like 5 years ago, and it had like 10K plays, and I just DM'd them. I'm like, yo, dude, this smacks. Like, your song is fire. And then like a few months go by, he just randomly DMs me saying like, hey, do you still live in LA? I'm like, yeah. It's like, yo, let's hang out today. And we just started hanging out every day.
Have you ever DM'd someone else that has like blown up to the magnitude that he has, or is like he probably the one that you're like, holy shit, I can't believe that actually happened?
Yes, it's definitely happened a lot. And one of my friends, oh, you probably know this because you seem like I'm not trying to be like stereotypical, but it's not like someone who watches The Bachelorette.
Absolutely.
One of my friends is named Tyler Cameron, and we met through like the DMs as well.
Yeah.
And then he became like who he is now. He's fucking lit. I love that guy.
Yeah.
How did you become friends with Justin Fields? Because I'm a sports guy, so that was pretty cool. Oh, that.
Yeah. That guy is a fucking. I love him. He's gonna best quarterback in the draft.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence is like, sure, whatever. But
yeah, he could be in New York. He could be on the Jets. He could get drafted.
That would actually be awful. If he goes to the Jets, I'll be devastated. He needs to go to the Falcons. But I met Justin Fields when I was in college still. Yeah. I was on a family trip to New Orleans for New Year's, and walking around Bourbon Street, and I saw this huge group of just like massive guys all wearing jumpsuits. I was like, okay, like they're definitely play sports. Right. You don't just do that. And I look at my DMs, and there's a DM from one of the guys saying like, hey, like, so I just saw you on Bourbon Street. Like, we should hang out. I'm like, okay. His name is Wicks, good friend of mine now. I mean, he played on the Georgia football team, and they were there for the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah.
And when we met up at this place called Willie's. If you're from New Orleans, you'll know what this is. It's like there's like these chicken restaurants everywhere.
So this is when Justin was still on Georgia.
Yes. Okay. He didn't even play. So I go to this chicken restaurant. There's like 10 of the boys there. And Wick's like, yo, you got to meet my boy Justin. And I was like, oh, what's good? And I didn't really know much about them. Yeah, Justin was the backup quarterback for Georgia. The next few days, we just hung out like every day. It's like just chilled and we became really close friends. They came out to LA to do some training, came by my house, and then we just became fucking close. That guy is the GOAT. Like I had a going away party in LA. I just moved out of LA recently and Justin came and it was only like 10 people there and he was there. I was like, yo, you're a fucking great guy.
Yeah, we actually just had our family friend Pete Warner, who's played on Ohio State too. He was a linebacker.
Okay.
Yeah. And he was just on the podcast literally last episode, but yeah. Him and Justin are now doing the whole NFL draft thing. So we're excited for.
Okay. So we're going to pause the episode really quickly so I can talk about literally one of my favorite things on the planet, Anchor. So if you haven't heard about Anchor before, it's basically the easiest way to make a podcast. Period. Let me just explain to you what they have. First of all, it's free, which like nothing's free anymore. So I feel like that's already your number one winner. Second of all, there's like all these different creation tools on the platform where you can make your own podcast and like you can record and edit it right from your phone or your computer, which is like crazy because you don't need all this fancy equipment. And like I said, it's free. So you're saving money that way too. And then my personal favorite thing about Anchor and like the main reason why I use it is because Anchor will literally distribute your podcast for you. So it can be heard on all different platforms that like basically any podcast can be distributed. So it can be heard through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and many, many more. So all you do is submit your podcast link and they literally distribute it everywhere for you, which is incredible. And overall, it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So it's super easy. I can't recommend it enough. I personally use this every week and I just love it so much. I recommend it to every one of my friends that wants to start a podcast. Even my brother uses it. So it's very user-friendly and I definitely recommend. So be sure to download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. So don't miss your opportunity to make an awesome podcast and download the free Anchor app. Or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Thank you so much to Apartments.com for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves. Apartments.com believes a dishwasher does more than just clean plates. It turns your whole place into a time machine by turning the time you would have spent washing dishes into extra time for you. That could mean more time to read, more time to knit, or more time to contemplate the vastness of time itself. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live with an elusive dishwashing / time-expanding device is easy. Apartments.com hosts the most rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit Apartments.com, the place to find a place. Now let's get back into the episode. Hope you're enjoying it so far. Mwah!
Good shit. Good shit.
Yeah, I want to do a quick little game because I do polls on my Instagram story all the time. So I'll just, it's kind of like this or that, like an Instagram poll. So my first one for you, they're catered towards you. So my first one for you is Entourage or a Casey Neistat vlog?
Entourage.
Entourage?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. And then I also have Ohio State or USC.
Come on now.
Football.
Oh. USC football is so garbage. It's so garbage. Who watches the Pac-12? It's so boring.
We're Big Ten fans over here. Phil goes to IU. I don't know if you have any friends who go to IU.
Yeah, I do have some friends that used to, because everyone from the Chicagoland area.
Yeah, there's a lot of Chicago people.
Yeah, Phil's a big frat boy, so I feel like he relates to you that way. Frat legend. LA or New York? So you're a New Yorker now.
LA is absolutely garbage.
LA?
I'm not coming back. I promise you that.
Wait, why'd you really move?
I hate that place. It's so boring. New York is just so much more fun.
Is that because it's like new to you, or you just think in general?
The vibe is just better. No one cares about social media here. Like, you're not going to lunch and people are like asking you how many followers you have. No one gives a fuck. Like, it's awesome.
Yeah, I feel like everyone's bodies are a lot more real too. Like, there's not many BBLs on the East Coast.
What is that?
You don't know the like Brazilian butt lift, the one that all the Kardashians have? It's basically where you get fat taken from your stomach and put into your ass.
Yeah, there's not a lot of that here. Everyone's cool here. It's awesome.
That's awesome. I definitely would love to do like a summer there or something.
LA is just so trash.
So trash. You definitely had a moment though where it was like romanticized in your videos.
Oh yeah, it was really sick until you realize that like it's the same thing every single day. And I was like, okay, this is boring now. Like,
what was your favorite part of LA?
I really enjoyed the ability to meet people so easily because everyone lived there. Like that was when I just got there, like from 5 years ago, everyone was just hustling, trying to like become someone, and there was no pride and ego yet. But now like in LA, it's so asked. Everyone has like, oh, what can you do for me? Like, you're not even popping. Like, you don't have X amount of followers. Like, you don't go on TikTok. I'm like, I don't fucking go on TikTok. I know. I'm not trying to burn my brain cells. So it's just boring to me. Like people care about followers so much, and it's the most painful is when the kids will have like 2 million followers, right? And they can't even afford 2K rent. And it's like, fuck this shit, I'm out of here.
What do you feel like's more valuable when it comes to being like a content creator, being unique or being trendy?
Unique, because unique always lasts.
Yeah, good one. And then the last poll question is majority of your friend group smarter or dumber than you?
Oh, my friends are all extremely smart. Like, I'm not going to even like say that as like a thing. Like a lot of the people, like my friends don't do social media. Like they're not like influencers and stuff. Like they're, that's, I think that's what's a little different about like my stance on social media, is because all my friends don't do it. Like they sell things on the internet, or like they do real estate, they do crypto. It's just dope. Like you're always learning new stuff versus that LA trap of, well, so what TikTok are we gonna make today? Like that's brain dead to me.
Do you feel like when you lived in LA, you kind of got into that like space a little bit though? Cause I feel like it's really easy as just a human being living in the space. Like you're like, I even get wrapped into it. You know what I mean?
Luckily, no, because when I was there, like I said, none of my friends do social media. So like one of my best friends' name is B Song, the jeweler. we don't care about that type of shit.
So growing up, who'd you like look up to for in social media and YouTube? Who would you watch?
I watched Casey Neistat like everyone else.
Really?
Yeah. Same. Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about like 1340, your business. Like, did you ever think it would be the magnitude it is now when you first started?
When I started 1340, it was just very intense right off the rip, because of all those people that I used to, like I'm a big believer that if you do good things for people, it'll always come around. You never keep a tally though. So like when I was like doing all those photos for, whenever I did those photos for the artists, like when I was growing up my whole life, I never charged anybody. And if I did, it was very, very small. And I just thought if someone had to pick one day, like would they rather pick me to be the photographer, or they're going to pick someone who charged them $500? Like, I'd rather just become friends. So I did this a lot. Like we're talking every single week, I'm trying to do this, trying to meet new people. And there was no pride in it. One day I'd shoot someone extremely famous, and the next week I'd shoot some kid who's making music out of his mom's basement, you know? But when I decided I wanted to make 1340, I hit up a bunch of the people that I developed those relationships with. It's like, hey, like, yo, I made this clothing brand. I think, could you post about it? And a lot of these people have become much more popular than they were like 5 years ago. And because, you know, we've developed real friendships, real relationships, it wasn't even a discussion. They've already posted it. Like it was just sick to see how like relationships are so much more valuable than like a few hundred dollars.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like you're kind of CEO of like building a relationship with someone, and then like it's like, oh duh, they'll return the favor kind of thing. But I want to dive more into like, what's your approach when you ask someone to do something like that? Because a lot of people could charge a lot to post, like, you know what I mean, your clothing brand. But since you're friends, they're like, oh, duh. But like, what's your approach with that?
I don't even ask anymore. I'm a believer that if your shit's cool enough, they'll ask to fucking get it. And so like, if like I'll post something on like a new collection I'm making, and I'll on my story or something. And if whoever replies to it, like my friends, I'll be like, do you want it? And like, yeah. And I don't even ask them to take photos. If it's, I believe if your product is good enough, they'll post about it because they want to. And if they don't want to do it, doesn't matter. Like the other day, like Justin Fields he went to a sneaker store, and this random kid DM'd me. He's like, yo, I'm a photographer for the sneaker store. I took some photos of Justin, and he's wearing your hoodie. I'm like, oh, let's go. Like, you don't even have to ask. Like, if your shit's just good enough, it'll happen. Like, we had like one of the most random things ever. My business partner, Matthew, great kid, he just randomly texted me like a few months ago. He's like, yo, you see the Addison photo? I'm like, who the fuck is Addison? And he's like, Addison Rae, look at her profile photo. And her profile photo is wearing our hoodie.
No way.
And I was like, oh.
I totally thought you like schemed her into getting that. How did she get it?
I guess Matthew just like somehow dug deep and found her info and just sent her a package with no context.
So is he your partner with 1340?
Yes. We do a lot of other projects together. So he does a lot of the day-to-day stuff. Like if there's customer support, you know, because I focus on the creative on all the businesses I run.
You seem like such a beast with collaboration and just like building relationships. Like what if you had like one piece of advice to give someone who's like, I suck at networking. Like, what would you say?
Just suck then. Sorry.
You have no tangible like piece of advice you would give.
Well, if you like are just bad at networking, that probably means like you're not really an outgoing type of person. And that's really tough. Like if you can't force that, like I'm all about like vibes and just like being friends. And I don't go into any relationship like, yo, I need them to do this. Like, we actually just become friends. And if you have trouble like getting people to like, if you have trouble making friends, like I don't know how to help you. Cause that's how I do it. It helps. Like say, oh, I meet someone, like I'll give you a good example. This happened a few nights ago. I'm sitting in this random restaurant in New York and I come on my eye, I look up and I see my buddy. This is my friend that I'm fully shocked. His name is Noah. When I moved to LA 5 years ago, he let me sleep on his couch. And I slept on his couch for 6 months. And during those 6 months, he's like, yo, you take advantage of this, like meet all the people I know. And I was just like, work, don't worry about rent. Just become you. I was like, oh, wow, that's such an amazing, like, that's a fucking great guy. And Noah's also, he at the time, he was like a struggling guy too. Like he was just like a bartender. So the fact that he let me do this was insane. And we've become very close since then. I'm sitting in this restaurant. He walks in this restaurant. Like, what the fuck are you doing here? And I go, and I, of course, I stand up. Yo, Noah, good to see you, buddy. And he's like, we're like freaking out. And fast forward like a few years, he's no longer a bartender. He's the artist Bozzy's day-to-day like assistant.
Wow. I'm sick.
And next thing you know, the next 3 nights, Bozzy, Noah, and I are fucking raging for the past 3 days. And like, that's how friendships are made. And of course now, like as you become friends, like he didn't even know what I do, you know? Like we were just like having fun. But it's all about like, you just have these strong relationships where people introduce you. And like, if someone, like say if I get introduced by someone that trusts, like it's very important to be introduced. Being just like cold outreaching to someone is tough.
Because that's so true.
You need to like prove yourself.
And who you're introduced by.
If someone introduces you and like that person trusts that person, cheat code. I didn't go into this relationship trying to like, oh, Bozzy, I fucking, you know, want to like become your guy, you know? Like, yo, like we're hanging out and I only wear my own clothes. He's like, yo, these clothes are dope. I'm like, okay, bet. I'll send you some. I say, okay. And there's no downside. Like even if he ends up throwing it away, whatever, like how much does this cost me? Like a few hundred bucks. And if say like the off chance, like he gets, someone takes a photo of him wearing it, that's cool. Like whatever. Like we send out hundreds of care packages every month and we'll get like less than 50% conversion rate on those, but who cares? Okay. It's worth it.
Are you strategic with who you send like a PR package to, or do you just send it to anyone and everyone?
I just send it to whoever I think is cool.
Like people you follow that think's cool?
Yeah, like I'll be watching Netflix. Like I just watched Queen's Gambit recently and I'm in love with Anya Taylor.
I think she's
so cool.
So good.
Yeah.
I DM'd her like 50 times. She hasn't replied yet. So like
you're like, do you want a 1340 sweatshirt?
I keep saying like, yo, and like doesn't answer that, so I unsend it and I like hey. I just keep trying over and over again because like
thank god for the unsend.
I know, right? But yeah, it's how whenever, like this is random like that. If I see someone that I like, I'll just send, what's the worst thing to happen? They don't reply, who cares?
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, it's Cheyenne Davis. You may know me from MTV's Teen Mom OG or Think Loud Crew podcast. I'm here with my dad, Papa Floyd, to tell you about our new podcast, Unfiltered Kitchen.
The kitchen is the hub of the household for many of us. The one-stop shop for conversations, both big and small. Cheyenne and I have been having open conversations about all aspects of life in our kitchen since well before she was able to see over the counter.
And now we're inviting you into our own kitchen as a part of the family.
Unfiltered Kitchen is a two-way street. I share my advice on cocktails, cooking, parenting, and the lessons I've learned.
And I inform my dad what it's like to raise kids today, how generational barriers affect us, and the joys of being a daughter. Well, your daughter.
Get ready for a whole lot of unfiltered advice. You can take it or leave it, but you're never going to leave this table feeling hungry for more.
Listen to Unfiltered Kitchen wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you feel like was the biggest turning point with your business? Because I feel like you started it off in your dorm room, kind of like, haha, like this is funny and cool. Yeah. I don't know what your intentions were, but I'm just telling you what I like kind of see it as a,
yeah,
as a viewer. Like, and then it turned into like, all of a sudden I'm like, holy fuck, like he's in Business Insider. Like you're getting all these press like reviews. You did the collab with LA Weekly. Yeah. I'm like, how did you make that turning point to being like, okay, I'm going from like YouTuber who has quote merch kind of to like, I'm starting a streetwear like business.
I think it happened when I was 2018. I made a design. I can't say the specific one because I just don't want to. And there was a design I made that during I released it and I thought it'd be a cool design. I just believed in it. I started like taking the marketing a little more serious. I started taking good, like getting like, I hired like film crews to help film these like professional like commercials. And I'll never forget it. I don't know why I didn't think it was crazy in the moment. Cause now I look back on it, I'm like, this shit was wild. In one day we did like $100,000.
Holy shit.
And I was like, what? And like, no one like really like, none
are
of my
you
friends,
serious?
Yeah,
that's insane.
Like I'm in college too. I was like, what the fuck?
And then yeah,
proceeding the next 2 days after that, it was like 50 75. I was like, what the fuck, this is really insane.
You're like, my AdSense isn't showing up like that.
Yeah. And then I was like, I should definitely take this more serious. And I started taking like business way more serious from there. And that's why I don't really give a fuck about the YouTube social media shit, because it doesn't matter.
Do you like the business side better than the doing like YouTube and social media?
I do. I make YouTube videos because I just think it's fun.
So that's like your hobby?
Yeah, it's literally my hobby. Yeah. It's like filming. And like, you know, there's, even though there's not like too many people who watch these videos, like people like still ask me to make them. So
yeah,
whatever.
Do you feel like though, like your business though is like, you have to nod or give some credit to the fact that you had such a big following, like when starting your business, like, do you feel like your fans and stuff were like really leveraged like the sales at the beginning?
It definitely helped. But when I started 13-4, I only had 100K on YouTube.
Yeah, but still it's better than like nothing, right?
I guess.
But I feel like if I couldn't just start a brand and
I think the more important part was the relationships I had.
Yeah.
That in the different industries, like it's like people who make merch with 100K subscribers don't make that much money.
Fair.
And like I just have never seen that before.
Yeah. What is the design process like when you come up with like all your designs for 1340? Are you using like Photoshop or like do you just draw it out?
Well, sometimes I'll draw it on my, like I always have notepads with me. I sketch a lot. But
what kind of notepad do you use, or does it not matter?
I just use sketchbooks, sketch notebooks versus Like, I used to use those moleskins.
Yeah.
But the moleskins kind of pissed me off because, you know, there's like the binding, right? So you have to like, it's like a book. So you have to always like squish the other side down.
Yeah.
So it doesn't like flap over. So I'll show you.
I just have a spiral.
Yeah. So I just carry these notebooks that have like a spiral, but they're meant for drawing. So it's the same type of paper, and you can just lay it flat like this, and it doesn't get in the way. And then I'll go into Photoshop with these little doodles, and I'll actually create it. But
So you just kind of like scan the photo into Photoshop and then recreate it.
That one specifically was just like an outline of like what I should do when I go home. Cause I like to go to random like little restaurants or bars or whatever, and I'll just be doodling by myself. I have no pride in going to eat dinner by myself. I think it's actually amazing. I just bring a little notebook with me and I just write my ideas out.
Where do you get your biggest spark of inspiration from?
Just whenever. Honestly, like I try to live as much as possible because I think a lot of people will be like, oh, I have writer's block, creativity block. It's because you're not doing anything. Obviously, if you just sit in your room and just like hope that one day it's gonna hit you. It's not. Like that's not how life works. You get inspired by real life events. So
how many nights do you go out?
Like drinking or yeah. partying?
Yeah.
I used to go out like very often. But there's a weird balance. Like recently, like it's actually perfect, yeah. So the past week I've gone out every day.
Really?
And the idea was the few weeks before that I was just grinding. Like I literally made so many designs.
Yeah.
But they were kind of all following the same theme. And I needed a new inspiration. So what I do is I just live for like a week. Just like have fun. Don't even think about shit. And then when I go to sit back down starting literally tomorrow, I've done so many different experiences in life that my headspace is completely different than I was 2 weeks ago. So yeah. When I go to design, I'm going to cook shit that I never even thought I'd think about.
It's like when you go on vacation and then you come back and you're like so rejuvenated exactly. with ideas.
You just look at life a little different. So like I don't think that there's any problem in like going and just disconnecting for a little bit, just having fun.
Because
a lot of people think you need to be grinding 24/7, but that's not necessarily the case. One of my friends, Ian Dew, I hope if he's listening to this right now, he's going to love this. He tweeted, everyone thinks you need to be grinding 24/7, like wake up, fucking busting moves, or do you need to be making passive income while you're asleep? When that's not necessarily true, you can also grind really hard and sign on the dotted line a fucking $1 million deal. And that only needs to happen once a year.
So true.
Like you're done. So like if you can go enjoy your life, like isn't that the whole point of like making money? If you just like make money and don't do anything.
Yeah. Last few things, because I don't want to take up too much of your time. I want to dive into, okay, so I told you briefly that Phil's like a frat boy, right? And you kind of had your frat moment with the vlogs and everything. What was it like documenting that? Because I've been trying to get Phil to like either vlog or like do something because he has the camera, and I feel like I don't know if that's something that he's like wanted to pursue like full time or anything, but I feel like you're the best to ask about this.
It was so fun filming when I was in the frat and shit, like because it's obviously like a slippery slope. Like the boys don't really like you recording a lot of shit you do, right?
Exactly. And they're always like, I gotta watch what I say so much right now.
Back then people just didn't care. Like I would record some of my pledge bros doing like the wildest shit.
would they make fun of you for it, or were they all for it? They want you recording them.
If they make fun of me for it, you can tell them to go fuck themselves.
Yeah, that's what.
So like it's just who cares? Right. I think I have a different, very like polar stance on that. Like I just genuinely think it's stupid when people like try to make fun of you for doing things you enjoy doing.
Exactly. Like
what are you doing? You're just hating.
I bet you've had to delete a lot of the, or not post a lot of the stuff you've recorded at the frat house and the parties.
Yeah, they definitely like messaged me about it before, but it's like, yo, like you told me like you wanted me to record it, so like what do you want me to fucking do?
Do you feel like it's now you capture exactly how you are with your friends? Like, how do you capture those raw moments without like shoving a camera in someone's face and then being like, whoa, if they're not used to it, you know what I mean?
Well, I usually like don't really bring out the camera unless I'm very comfortable with the people I'm with. Like the friends I have out here in New York, their names are Christian, Henry, and Jesse. Like these guys, like the first few days, like we just hung out normally. And then one day I'm like, I'm going to bring out the camera. And you just have to like feel it out. Like if they, right. if they like it or not. Luckily, these boys are the type of guys that just fucking love it. They love every second of it.
Yeah.
And you know, like right, like you could catch the vibe. Like if someone's like being weird about it or being like, oh, like oh, they're doing like the whole hand over the face thing, it's fucking dead. Like just yeah. move on to the next one. And then it's just all about finding the right guys. You don't have to record everyone in the frat, you know, like just exactly. record like the four fellows who think it's fun.
The funny dudes that exactly. do stupid shit.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel like there's such a like gap in the, of course, with like Nelk coming on, they kind of like took that like frat boy mentality to like,
yeah.
to YouTube. But I feel like you were one of the only like straight guys in a frat, like vlogging. Yeah. Like, I feel like that's such an open market for guys, but like guys are way, like care way more about like what people think about them than I think like the classic YouTuber girl.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, like no one cares. Like when you're like, you actually start to get like more girls will probably hit you up as you're doing this.
Yeah.
So like, like if guys are like, oh, I don't want people like judging me. It's like, nah, if you honestly just own it, people love it.
So were all the USC girls, they all know you, come up to you?
I don't know about that, like that to like that extent, but like
yeah,
maybe.
But it definitely probably helped, right?
It definitely didn't hurt it at that time.
Yeah. Or did you have a girlfriend in college?
Yeah, I had a girlfriend like for quite a bit of time actually, but like it's just fun. Like if you enjoy filming, you enjoy making yeah. videos, it's not even about that. Like if you really enjoy like having fun with it, because mm-hmm. I loved just recording these moments, whether it was going to go on YouTube or not. It's just a good way to like, you don't think about just having to go party. When I would go to these parties, I had like another thing I wanted to do. I wanted to film people. So I wasn't just going to parties just to drink and shit. I was going there because these are just like moments you'll never get again.
Yeah.
I have like a question, like personally, that I have just for Phil. And then I have one for me. Yes. One, because I just like want your advice. Okay, so I feel like I have my whole like spiel on like, because I think Phil's looking to get internships. He just had an interview with CAA. He wants to be a sports agent. Oh. I feel I'm like talking for you, so you can try me, Phil. But like that big move from, because he's a junior, he's going to hopefully come here and like intern at one of these places he's interning at this summer. And I'm like, I know you like aren't an LA fan anymore, but like what advice would you give to someone like from the Midwest, like moving here? Like I've given him my spiel, my friends have given him a spiel, but like coming from a guy's perspective, like what advice would you give for someone like trying to get in the industry who's not used to all these like clout chasing people?
It's just so different now, honestly. I don't even really know, like I don't really know how to get tapped in with these type of kids anymore. Cause yeah. the age gap is so big for me.
Like, it's all like TikTok now.
Yeah. Like I'm turning 25 this year. You know, it's kind of crazy to say that. Like, I don't really feel like I'm that old, but these kids are genuinely like 16.
Yeah.
Like this is like a damn near like a 9-year age gap. It's very hard for me to relate to a lot of the kids who are like in the know now.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I moved out here, like we were all that age, we were all like 18, so it was less weird. But I guess just don't like force anything. Like don't try to like, if you're trying to be a sports agent, like the best way to get clients is just becoming their friend,
right?
And like act and like them to actually like you, and they're like, okay, let's after like a few nights of hanging out, then say, yo, I think this is a good fit. But don't yeah. be like, bro, I'm trying to sign you.
Yeah. The relationship's way more important, yeah. for sure. Yeah.
Have you ever thought about dipping into like the managing or like agent side? Because you like catch these people when they're so like small and then they blow up. Like you definitely have a talent for that. Have you ever thought about that?
I've done things like very low key with record labels.
Oh, really?
Stuff like that. Yeah. I can't really say anything, but It wasn't just off for fun.
Okay, slight flex there. I love it.
Yeah, I literally can't say it because I have all these NDAs.
No, but I get it. Yeah, I get the NDA culture. And then for me, you like grew up knowing all these like lifestyle YouTubers and blah 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 blah, and I've never like taken YouTube seriously until literally the beginning of quarantine is when I like started posting on YouTube, right? And I gained like, I know it's not a lot, but like around 100,000 and like, it's not compared to, I'm like the producer for a bigger YouTuber. So I'm like very small compared to her, but I was just wondering, like, why do you think some people have just like plateaued at like a certain like 200 or 300K? Like for me, I'm trying to not do that. So like, what do you think, or like, what's so boring about like the lifestyle community? Like, what advice would you give me? I know you probably have never seen any of my shit, but like, if you had any advice, what would you say?
Are you still growing fast?
Yeah, I feel like I don't know. I'm on this like right now, but I'm like trying to avoid plateauing at all costs.
People are obviously liking what you're doing. And because with lifestyle, it's very like very specific. People like a very specific thing that you're doing. So if they're liking what you're doing, just don't change at all until it starts. And then deal with that. When it starts plateauing, then deal with it. But if you're growing decently and you have a very specific style, just do not change. Because a lot of people think like, oh, I'm starting to get popular now, like I need to act differently. Fuck no. No. That's the complete opposite. Keep pushing that whatever the fuck you're doing and see how far it goes.
It's so funny because I feel like when I moved here, I thought I had to like act like I was like an LA regular. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then the second on like my YouTube channel that I made a video about like me being homesick, and like it was when I went home this summer to Indiana, and I like did a whole vlog about like me wishing I would like could live in both places and blah 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 blah. And it's like my best video on YouTube. And like ever since I like honed into that, I feel like people resonated with it more. But I feel like you do a good job of that because you're always talking about like how you grew up from a small suburb and all of that stuff.
Yeah, just be like, if you're trying to do lifestyle, you can't be lying. Like you have to genuinely show like what type of person you are.
Okay, well, it has been an absolute delight chatting with you, Justin. Thank you so much for giving us all of your knowledge and insights.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and hopefully when one day the panty is more chill, we can come to New York and hopefully pick your brain more.
Yeah, for sure.
Or you just go out, TK, and stop being soft.
Yeah, maybe something like that. All right, well, Justin, where can everyone follow you and all of that? Buy the 1340. I'm definitely going to buy a sweatshirt after this.
Thank you. It's just on social media. It's just Justin Escalona, and it's on across all platforms.
Cool. And where can we buy 1340?
Go on 1340collective.com. If you want to buy any of my clothes, I appreciate it.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast. Be sure to follow Justin on everything and follow me at TK's Juicy Polls. Where can they follow you, Phil?
Philip King 10.
Cool. And be sure to make someone's day this week. Peace.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.